Beautiful song there, composed by the one and only Taipua Mosotsi. And he created this song specifically for Little Heaven. And we do say thank you to him there. So we are on our part two of Little Heaven. And today we are speaking about all things individuality. Hey, this one is quite... So we have not even gotten to the most controversial parts of marriage and the union, but... Already it is giving us the things that make the things to happen. So having a healthy marriage is not as simple as just wishing it into existence. It takes hard work and dedication by all parties involved to make it, you know, happen. And a whole lot of blessings as well as luck, if you believe in luck. But your marriage doesn't have to be a chore. It can be a blast too. And believe us when we say that it can be a blast. Hallelujah. You know, it can be a blast. You know, so with this marriage series, we are going to be speaking to seasoned and their seasoned, because they jollied for a very long time before they decided to get married, but they are seasoned. You know, this isn't my guest today. Seasoned couples who have experienced it all and have worked to make their marriage a little heaven. So individuality in marriage is a delicate dance between independence and togetherness, where each partner retains their autonomy while prioritizing the well-being of the relationship, right? It's about finding that perfect balance between nurturing your own identity and nurturing the bond you share with your spouse. Ultimately, individuality in marriage is about embracing the beauty of being unique individuals while journeying through life together as equal partners. It's about honoring each other's defenses, cherishing each other's strengths, and growing together in love and understanding. Does it even exist, though? So that is the question we're going to try and answer today, you know. So we speak about all things individuality. If you do want to get in touch with us, the number to dial is +27 734 703 520. That number again is +27 734 703 520. Does individuality exist in marriage, right? I'm joined once again by my lovely couple. I don't know why I butchered your last name last time. So you'll correct me today. How do you pronounce his name?
Can you hear me? Mm. Okay, thank you so much. Maele.
Maele. Maele. Mm-hmm. Why did I Englishize it?
Common temptation.
Maele. Right, cool. We are joined in the studio once again by Rodney and Lucen Maele. Right?
You so much.
And they're coming back. The last time we spoke about all things. Expectations here, and today we're going to be speaking about all things individuality, because we need to understand, can there be individuality? Because the Bible says that the two shall become one. So where's the one when they were one? How does it now become individuals, right? It's going to come interesting though. So I'm just going to start with that question. Does individuality exist in marriage?
I think it does. It does. Or should I say it should?
Should.
Yeah, it should exist.
Okay, I know it does.
Yeah, it does, naturally, but I feel like it individuality should exist because, you know, there's a variety of personalities. You know, people are different. And I think that's what brings people together. Certainly, that's what brought me together with her, because we're not the same person.
Yeah.
So I do expect or would love herself to continue and not to completely merge with what is not her. Or else I'll be, what you call this, marrying or dating myself.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think it's weird for individuality not to exist. It turns into some sort of a relationship cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. we're not in a cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, with people who have chosen to be with each other.
So how now did you guys balance, right, your individual identities? Because listen, you are outside of this marriage. Rodney, you are Rodney outside of this marriage. So how did you two balance your two identities, right? Mm-hmm. And the interest while transforming from dating to marriage. Dating, it's okay. Uzanele, uzanele, like bona. Mm-hmm. But now when you're married, it becomes a whole different ballgame. How did you do it?
I think the most important thing is also to distinguish what is a personality and a character flaw, mm-hmm. right? If you have bad character flaws, obviously, it will be hard for us to then try to for an individual mm-hmm. to accept that type of character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we need to compromise. I'm sorry, I can't concentrate.
No, it's fine. You can look at me. It's okay.
It's okay.
I can't concentrate. I was thrown off a bit.
Okay.
So I was saying that you need to differentiate between character flaws and an mm-hmm. individual's personality, mm-hmm. right? Some things are technically unacceptable.
Okay.
And for you to find a good balance is not for you to accept things that are unacceptable
mm-hmm.
and try to work with them.
Okay.
It's nurturing the good part of the person's personality
mm-hmm.
that will yield result at the end of the union or in the journey even.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's you need to differentiate and finding a perfect balance is allowing your spouse to be themselves, you know.
Mm.
If like the relationship between us, I'm loud. I might be quiet right now, but
I would never have thought you're loud.
I'm loud.
Never.
I'm loud. So even in the past, would be like in public with our friends, and I would be even loud in a very disrespectful way.
Okay.
You know, because I thought this is who I am. You know,
yes.
I'm a grown woman. Yeah. And you know, this nonsense the media keeps putting in our heads that when you are rough and you are coarse and you are, you know, you are a strong, independent black woman, you know. But then as you journey on, you realize that I don't have to be that person.
Okay.
I don't have to shout to be heard, and I don't have to, you know. Then you try to balance it and still be loud because you can't really control that.
Mm-hmm.
But you check your tone. You check if you are being loud because you're angry. Are you being loud because, you know, or you're just having fun?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's a fun situation. And then you try to match also your partner's level of enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Are you loud?
I think I am sometimes.
No.
I am sometimes. I'm loud when I laugh, and you know, I'm loud in which sometimes she finds uncomfortable in public.
So we're fun, almost.
That's the thing, we've got different now versions of and levels of loudness, exactly. So now we have to accept those different things. But then if we understand, like I said, that this is what makes the person them, to stifle that would be to make them unhappy.
True.
You see, so you have to strike that balance. And it's better sometimes if your individuality is sort of controlled or balanced by you, the person.
Okay.
You see, so it's up to the person to understand where they need to balance it, and better not for you to enforce the balance. So I wouldn't come to her and say that, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to stop being who you are, things like that. That becomes weird. But if she can see who I am and we see how we can blend, and then the balance comes from her side to curtail her own extremes, if she has extremes.
Mm-hmm.
That will come from her side. I think that creates a healthier way of balancing things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now looking at, we are different mm-hmm. as people, right? That's a given. And the two of you have recognized that, okay, fine. She's loud and everything else. You are loud when you are laughing. And you have found those things that both of you are different when it comes to that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But then as people, for example, we have our own passions.
Yeah.
We have our own hobbies. Omunye likes to hike. Whilst Omunye loves to just read a book with their nice tea. Yeah. Omunye wants to watch FIFA.
Yeah.
Whilst the other ones wants to watch Bridgerton. You know, so yeah. that we can with a British accent. Anyway, but we have those different yeah. hobbies, right?
Yeah.
So how did you two encourage each other
yeah.
To pursue your personal passions
yeah.
and hobbies while still nurturing this relationship so that tigunga shugani, you understand? And not force the other one, my person just decided to love soccer recently.
Yeah.
So I'm not forced to watch soccer. But there are things where you were like, no, come, man. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll do it for the relationship,
for the relationship,
you know. and even me too, where yeah. I'm like, no, come listen to AWR. That time Mutwabantu, he doesn't want to hear anything gospel.
Yeah.
You know, because we have that time where we don't want to.
Yeah, I just want to.
Just for 3 minutes, Nyana. Yeah, but that time where I've done that, you know. So
yeah.
how do you two navigate that way and encourage each other, saying, babe, you want to hike? Halala. Let's go, you know, hey. But you know, but I'll support you. How did you do that?
Hey, for us on that front, ne, it's something that we're still working on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one. I think that's it's maybe it's where we're still pulling each other here and there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm very outdoorsy.
Okay.
You know, I like the social setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though I'm not I don't know how to super keep up conversations, but I like being around people.
Mm.
She is really good at keeping up conversations,
okay.
but she does not like being around people. So we have that.
John,
I have
how
no
does
idea.
That work?
It's like if she could give me that trait, then yeah. let me go and talk to my people, and I can give her my my lack of keeping up.
Yeah.
She can stay at home with it.
Okay.
So we struggle with that one. Trying to go out, you know, doing things outside the house, doing things which even if we're together.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have, in the past we did compromise every now and then. Yeah, she'll be like, let's do this. And then I'll be like, oh, she'll, one of the nice things is sometimes she would suggest for us to do something that I like.
Okay.
And I feel like that is more, it makes me feel better about doing that thing rather
yeah.
than when me forcing it and say, let's go. And then she's like, oh, I don't want to. And then we eventually go.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I feel like I'm dragging her. But she always appreciates it. It's nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, I've had to stay. I've done a lot of staying home
okay.
since I married her. Yeah. There's been a lot of. There's been a lot of not a lot of outside activities,
yeah.
And I've learned to appreciate it. It's fun, but yeah, I would like to go out more.
I have also done a lot of going out.
I don't see it.
I don't know what it is about. I love people. I love
yes.
having conversations. If you find me at church during lunch, I'm most of the time I'm the center.
Mm.
I talk and I bring up topics and I laugh and. But I get tired.
Okay.
I get tired of that okay. whole thing, and it's okay for me to do it once a week. But
yeah,
like
or
every
monthly.
Day, yeah, or monthly. But every day, it's exhausting, and I think it's because also I try to put out so much energy
mm-hmm.
and try to welcome everybody and try to you know, like relate to a lot of people, that it takes so much energy to actually do it.
Mm.
He likes it because I think because he doesn't put out so much energy. He can
okay.
just sit and listen and everybody will talk around him. So I don't think like it will take too much.
Only aura.
Yeah. You could just sit there and people can talk and finish.
Yeah.
I want to be the center. You
okay.
know, I want to talk. So yeah, that's exhausting. So people shouldn't go home thinking, I don't like people. No, I love you guys.
No, you do love people, but for, like you said, just once a week or monthly.
Okay, okay.
So, Tina, with that type of setting, we've had to now come to a compromise. And
yeah.
it has, of course, reduced from dating especially. You see,
yes.
dating, especially in my sense, as men, when we're in that phase and we're not like super locked down.
Okay.
We have a lot of friends who go here, we do this, you know, we've got a lot of out time. But then once it came to marriage, and even before that, going into the marriage setting, I had to realize that the setting must change in my mind first.
Mm-hmm.
So I should enjoy being together with her and doing these things. Because if I don't enjoy that and I do it for the sake of the marriage only, I'm going to be unhappy in that situation. So I had to condition my mind, had to pray about it so that God can change my mind from being from an outside dating boy to at least a man who is in a union.
I wanted to come to that, before I continue with all these other questions that I have, because you two are speaking about something where, like, now you've gone out, Lucen, right? You're not an outgoing person, but now you've gone out. Rodney, you are that person who's out there, but now you found to be staying indoors quite a lot, and you've started enjoying it, right? Would we say then that when it comes to individuality in marriage and nurturing the union, there is a lot of compromise that comes into play? Because here we are sitting with an issue where that's not you, that's not things that you like, but because of the union, you are willing to learn, you are willing to compromise. If you are used to going out every Friday, Thursday, okay, all right. If you are used to going out, let's say every Sunday, you are there hiking, now you're like, but my person doesn't quite, let me compromise. Let's wake up and put on Netflix, for example, or listen to AWR, of course, wink, wink, what is there now with individuality and the union? There is a lot of compromise that we even don't even speak about.
That's true.
I think, before you answer, the compromise that has to come into play is the sort that it comes from love. And when it comes from love, it's much, much easier to do. It's much, much easier to do. So when you love the person and you see that this would at least give them some time or some space, to fit into who you are, then you would be willing to do the same for the other person. And then you eventually find yourself on this union, and it gets easier. Like, I think if I look at our lives, I think, like I said last time, on Monday, that it's much easier for us to get around each other now because our minds have sort of blended now. Is it now because they're blended, I can tell when now we can go, or now we probably shouldn't go. This is a day for this, this is a day for that. So we won't have as much of a back and forth like we used to in the past when we're still learning how to, you see. So now we've learned to have new likes, refrains, things like that. So
it's together,
exactly. So for us, the most important things, like you're saying, is for us to be able to do it together. Because I find myself not being able to appreciate certain things unless she's there. You see, a certain joke, a meme, I see this, even a view. A nice view. I would always be telling her, come see this sunset. It's amazing. And when she looks at it, she'll be like, she'll be like, can't you see that? That's purple and amber and blue mixed together. This is like, it's amazing. And she'll be like, it's cool. I'm like, as long as I called, I think I feel. And I can tell she's rolling her eyes, but I want that roll of the eyes. If she's not there, then for me, it doesn't make sense. It sucks. So I need her to be there to appreciate the same thing that I'm looking at.
I think the individuality can still exist. Because as much as I do the things that he wants to do that are not the things that I would want to do, you can still say, but Lucen is like this and this and this.
Yes.
And this, you see, because he's not trying to stifle my character or my personality. He's not forcing. You know, there are those relationships.
Yes.
Where you are forced. You are forced. And every minute of your day, you are expected to do something, something different. And you lose yourself. And even if somebody asks you, what do you like? It's either you don't know what you like, or you say whatever your partner likes. And most of the answers is what your partner likes, or you don't know. It's because somebody is draining your energy and they're draining you as a person, where if you don't want to do something, then you are bad, emotional, blackmail and stuff like that. But if you allow it to happen naturally, you end up liking the same things and you didn't even know. Sometimes we even question ourselves, who had this song first? I like this song first. Because you know? We have the same taste in music. Yeah. We have the same taste in... And whatever, we don't really like a lot of things now. Yeah. We have the same taste in almost everything. But you can tell...
We have the same passwords.
Huh? I said you shouldn't say that. It's out of the bag.
If we get hacked, we're finished.
We are done. Okay, we're going to change the passwords. Please.
I don't know if I can. I'm attached.
Hi, guys. I didn't expect that. I want individuality.
It's just passwords.
Well, the passwords are the same.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier. Because if she forgets, she always forgets passwords. So if she knows there's just one password.
And I stole it from him.
Yeah, she'll never go wrong.
If I don't remember, he will remember.
One password, everything. Google, everything.
Disclaimer, you are not advised. Before our IT personnel come in budging in here, you are not advised to have the same password. You can know each other's passwords.
Yeah.
You can know, but not have the same. Ne? Dear listeners.
We appreciate your opinions.
Your
personal.
IT. You are allowed to know each other, but not have the same. Please, for security reasons. Please.
It's much more secure.
For security reasons, right? Yes. 100%. So to our listeners at home, we are speaking about all things individuality. We're going to start taking through your voice notes and your comments that have passed. So do let me know what your thoughts are in terms of what you think when it comes to individuality. So now, looking at the two of you, right, you like the same things and it seems like you gelled for very long, like you're able to gel because there are a couple of things that you like that are the same. Mm-hmm. For the both of you, someone looking from outside like, it was not that much of a struggle. Mm-hmm. Someone might say that. Mm-hmm. But were there any moments where you felt that your individuality was being compromised? We spoke about that. It comes with compromising.
Yes.
Yeah, we do compromise. But this one, it was not the willing compromise.
Yeah.
Let me just do it for my bae.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, Lana, it seems like, hey, I'm being forced. So were there instances where you felt like your individuality was being compromised? Mm-hmm. And how did you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start. Because I'm a very, naturally, I want to be in control, especially of my... I don't want to say life, but my actions.
Yeah.
So I did have a struggle with that. There would be a time, I think there was a time in the past where she couldn't understand, because she's the very opposite of me. So she believes in almost the demolishing of individual walls.
Okay.
Almost completely.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, I need to know I am me. I need to have, power over my thing. So I used to like my own time. I didn't want her to know my phone passwords. She shouldn't be able to get into my phone, even my WhatsApp and things like that. At some point. So she had to, and she was very displeased about that. So she told me a few times that she doesn't understand this wall of separation. Even my own creative side.
Yes.
I wouldn't want her to be in on my, even now I struggle to type while she's watching. I don't, that one, I can't get over that one. So please don't ever watch me while I'm typing. So yes, things like that. So, but then over time, I started to understand what she means. And now I start to appreciate the idea of blending.
Okay.
So maybe even to the listeners out there, if your partner doesn't want you in their phone, it's a red flag.
Oh.
Phones, things. Because do you know what the problem is with a phone and with communication? Things can go south very fast. Mm-hmm. And there's unnecessary temptations. There's unnecessary conversations. There's so many unnecessary things that even as a man, even woman, can do on their phone. And I've realized that one of the worst things you can do is to have the walls up so high that even your phone is off limits to your wife, to your partner. So I think I learned over time to get rid of some walls, which I saw maybe a bit detrimental, maybe a bit toxic to their relationship. So yeah, I think on my end, yeah, that was my biggest challenge. It was individuality. I struggled there.
For me personally, I don't think it was like my personality that he was attacking, but I felt okay at that time. I thought it was my personality, but looking back, it's more about my character flaws.
Okay,
because I'm from Sosha Mguve, and
Sosha,
we don't really have a good reputation, and you know, as much as you think that okay, maybe I'm not as bad as these other people, but okay, it rubs off,
yes.
and you get weird characteristics, you know, like some traits rub off you, and when somebody calls you out and say, hey, why do you like doing this? You feel offended. You feel like he's trying to control me. He's trying to, you know. But it sometimes you just have to be self-aware.
Yeah.
Yes, and introspect and think about it. If it was the other way around, would you date yourself? Would you be content with your behavior if you were to date yourself? And I think that would make it easier for you to make compromises.
I remember there was this other church that I used to attend. Don't ask me when.
Where was it?
What's wrong with you? But yeah, before I joined the Adventist church, there was a church that I used to go to, and they had a marriage seminars, marriage what. You know, all these things, it's a summit, but it was a marriage thing.
Sure.
And the theme was, would you marry you? That was the theme, would you marry you? And it was quite interesting. And now I'm just minded, as you know, as you are bringing that out, would you date yourself? Looking at myself as Zanele with all my flaws and my behaviors, sometimes pale hike. City.
And you know, a lot of people believe that they could actually marry themselves because they're not self-aware. They don't know. Don't know. If they were like, if you were to follow them with a camera and show them, would you be married to this?
Yes.
Like, you remember the story of David when the prophet who came to him and said, if a man relaying that whole story of if a poor man had a sheep and then a rich man came to take that sheep and then slaughtered it and stuff like that, then that poor man is starving and struggling and stuff like that. Would you want to punish that person? And David was so, yes, that person must be killed. We can even summon them now, you know. But not knowing that that's what he actually did.
Thou art the man.
Yeah, you are that person.
Yes.
And it's easy to judge others, but not looking at your own faults.
All right. Let's take the listeners, what they are saying. I must warn you ahead of time, there was a very heated Smolenyana debate yesterday leading up to this. I don't know if the people are going to send through the voice notes because someone was like, yay, this thing of individuality in marriage is demonic. There's no such. So I'll see if that particular gentleman did send. But then let's start it off with a voice note from Pastor Andrew. Pastor Andrew is a faith champ. He's always listening. So let's hear what Pastor Andrew has to say. I also got some texts as well, so we'll be reading those.
Hi, Zanele, and good morning to the Maeles. I'm really enjoying this discussion happening right now. There's something that Roddy said, I think, when talking about personality and character flaws, and I think he said something to the effect of it would be up to one partner to curtail their own character flaws than to have the other partner enforce them, because to do that would be to stifle that would be to change this person from who they are. I'm wondering if they have a word for one who is experiencing life where the one partner is not curtailing their own character flaws. They're continuing on with life as this is who I am, take me as I am. I don't know if there's a word that can be shared on that.
This is me. You take me as I am. Hey, advise on, guys, advise on. That's why you're here.
I mean, I don't even know. I think Pastor should be asking him to advise us. I don't know why Pastor's asking us. But anyway, this is what I think. Because there's two maybe phases you can look at it at.
Yeah.
Before you guys tie the knot, mm-hmm. and the person is really staunch about this is who I am, take me as I am, I think you still have room to leave if you feel like this, it will be a problem going forward.
Mm-hmm.
After you're married, you have to take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
Many of the the flaws that we experience, things that hurt us, because I would she would do something which doesn't rub me the right way,
mm-hmm.
and even if I speak to her, I can see she's listening, but it will take time. Sometimes she might not even agree. So only the Holy Spirit can make her understand that what she's doing hurts me. And when you pray about those things, they change without you having to enforce. Remember, we're not trying to force people.
Yes.
Of course, but you can relay and you can sit down and have a talk. But in a marriage, if things don't, if she's not changing, if she's still stuck, just keep praying until eventually that thing changes according to the Holy Spirit. She's the only one who can change people.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. We can only hope for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for those people that are stuck in those relationships with spouses that don't want to change, remember that even the Bible says that it is the goodness of Christ that brings people to repentance.
Mm.
So it must not change your ability to express love in its most perfect form according to how you can.
Mm.
So it should never, ever affect how you express your love. That same love that you show the goodness, despite the person's faults, it might be a useful to the Holy Spirit to change that person from what they're doing.
Mm. All right. Rodney, cool me like guys.
But before that, you can leave if you want.
I went. I'm
kidding. I'm kidding. Fight.
No, during Mjolo, right?
Yeah, during Mjolo, yeah.
During the knowing second of
exactly,
friends vibes.
Exactly,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we did also receive this comment. I will read it. They had shared a short one and they're like, this is the full quote. I'll try to read the full quote. All right. Before giving her hand in marriage, every woman should inquire whether he with whom she is about to unite her destiny with is worthy. Tata Mrs. White.
Mm.
What has been his past record? Mm. Is his life pure? Is the love which he expresses of noble, elevated character? Or is it a mere emotional fondness?
Mm.
Has he the traits of character that will make her happy? Can she find true peace and joy in this affection? Will she be allowed to preserve her identity? Or must her judgment and conscience be surrendered to the control of her husband? As a disciple of Christ, she is not her own. She has been bought with a price. Can she honor the Savior's claim as supreme? Will body and soul, thoughts and purposes be preserved pure and holy? These questions have a vital bearing upon the well-being of every woman who enters the marriage relation. So it says 5T, I think it's page 362.1. This one, when you're quoting Sister White, guys, name Berlin in full. Because me.
Testimonies, volume 5.
Thank you. Yeah. Testimonies, volume 5, page 362. Paragraph one.
Paragraph one.
I nailed it.
You nailed it. 100%.
I nailed it. So this is what Elder Ryan sent through, saying that ask yourself these questions. We must read these testimonies, Bazaran.
Mm.
Let's end the letter surprise sister.
Mm.
Sister White. And then here it comes through as well, saying that she should remember that her marriage does not destroy her individuality. God has claims upon her higher than any earthly claims.
Mm.
Christ has bought her with his own blood. Mm. She is not her own. She fails to put her entire trust in God.
Mm. Aye.
Thoughts? Oh, it's done. Drops my name. All right. Let's see. We do have other comments as well that came through. Let me start here. Okay, for this one, yes, it came through from Elder Mapipo, saying that individuality does not mean being so independent that you only seek that which is only for your benefit.
Yeah. Mm.
Individuality is standing in your God-given personality and not allowing it to be overshadowed or submerged by another, e.g., even if it is husband and wife. You are still agreeing?
I agree, 100%.
Listen, you agree? Okay, all right. Let's take a listen to this voice note as well that came through from one of our listeners as well. If you are also listening or also watching on YouTube there, you can text us on +27734703520.
Yes, individuality does exist in marriage. At the end of the day, you both individuals that came together, and it's part of certain aspects of that person's, that individual's personality that you were attracted to. So it does.
With that one, eh?
Hi, Zanele. Wait. I think that.
Zama, wait. We're coming to you. What attracted you to her? And what attracted you to him? If it was gone, would that spark still be there?
Do you know what attracted me to her? I don't know. We were friends for over a year. I can't say. So I think that's safe for me, because if I don't know what attracted me to her, I won't know if it's gone. So for me, I was attracted to her. I can't say it's because she was tall or because she was...
Or she's loud.
Yeah. Or she's loud. Exactly. I'm just attracted to her as a package. That means whatever... Maybe it could be even her own attraction to me that drew me to her.
Oh.
So you see, her showing signs that she seems to be fond of me is what draws me to her. So I guess if she stops that it will create a problem. It might create a problem. It might create a problem. But I don't think it's hard to put my finger on it.
So,
yeah. Is your puma mind? Yes.
So when we met, we were friends, and we were in a group of friends, right?
Yeah.
And then I met him, and he was this tall, dark guy, very, very skinny, and he was not my type at all. Not my type.
I'll see type.
And then a friend of ours, I don't know if it was true or not, she said to me, Rodney thinks if he wanted you, he could get you.
Oh. Okay.
Then I was like,
100%.
I'm going to torment him.
Yes, when?
I'm going to torment him. So I started doing these little things of calling him hubby and fixing his shirt and fixing his hair.
Bon.
And making him breakfast when we were together at the friend's house. And just to torment, like to torture him. And it got under his skin.
Can't you didn't and
know. She made a mistake. She was falling in love by mistake.
We both fell in love.
Yes. It was unintentional.
But after that, then we fought, and then we didn't like each other for a while, and things happened. So before we dated, I was in need of Christ. I knew I was in need of Christ, and I had I don't even know how to describe it, but I felt like God was calling me.
Yeah.
And I did not know how to respond or to go. So when he came back the following year, he was a different man from what I was used to.
Yeah.
He was kinder, he was softer, he was
Holy Spirit,
he was gentle, you know. Then I asked him, you are different this year. What happened? Like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm okay. I don't see anything. I'm like, no, but there's something about you. I like it. What happened? And he told me that, no, the only thing that changed was me going back to church and stuff like that. Then I'm like, I want to go to that church.
Yes.
A church that has made you this person. Like, I want to go to that. I want to see what's happening. And I think that made me take him more seriously, and fell in love with the person that he was because of God and because how God has given me my answer through him. Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Let's hear what Zamile had to say. It was not because I'm young, you could hear. So what is that? Let's take a listen.
Hi, Zanele. I think that, you know, when you decide to get married, you are saying we are one. So individuality, therefore, remains on the day you go to the altar, you now become one, you are one thing. You decide together and stuff like that. There's no more, no, I want to go and buy this. No, I want to go do this. No, I want some me time. I want some alone time, etc. You decided to get married. And so my view is that individuality, not in marriage, man. Yeah, before you get married, do that. Of course, you can decide that, okay, you will have this much to spend on yourself. You'll have this much to spend on yourself, but agreed by the partners. You can't just decide that on yourself as a man or woman.
Mm. Okay.
That's true.
Oh, you're agreeing, right?
The last part.
You know, the last part.
I agree with Babu Malute.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
The part about the individuality, I guess he expanded on it, what he meant. But if you were to take it just at face value, that individuality remains at the altar. I would like to say that, you see, in a marriage, we are sort of representing the family of God. Mm-hmm. You see, so the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who are essentially one, that's God. Mm-hmm. However, they're different persons, different personalities. But yet again, when Christ is here, he says that I don't do anything of myself. I do whatever the Father shows me.
Mm.
So it's true, he does not act independently, not because he cannot, but because of subordination. So they have agreed that they do things together. So I do agree that you have to agree on everything, because this is how heaven works. This is how God works.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that your individuality, your personality is not there. Otherwise, Christ would not be exalted above all names, because he himself, as the person who came and sacrificed himself, that Jesus, that himself, is the one who is dying for our sins, even though the Father did participate in the sacrifice.
Mm.
But the fact that they're individuals, and the fact that if Christ decided on his own to stop this mission, it would have destroyed everybody's lives.
Yeah.
So it means that his individuality had a central role, because the buck stopped with him.
Yep.
So even though he was acting in concert with everybody else, the buck stopped with him and he had all the power. Therefore, individuality cannot completely be done away with.
I want to take this comment before I speak about the me time situation. and we also do have another voice note then from Elder Derek that we're going to take. There's a comment that came through from Sister Martha. Sister Martha saying that it's a self-awareness of knowing she was in need of Christ for me. That need, knowing yourself as a person, knowing, not being told, knowing, So she's saying we are leaning out here, though there is a very thin line in between over individual and oneness. Mm. So that is a comment there that is coming through. How do you guys deal with the issue of me time? Do you have that? And also to our listeners as well, out there, you can also chip in on this one. When we as people say we want our me time, does that mean that we are not one? Because there are days where one needs, hi guys, yes, I can just even lock myself in the room. I don't want anyone, But does that mean that I'm no longer in the unity? I'm no longer in the oneness because I decided I want a me something. How do you guys deal with the issue of me time? Or do you guys have me times?
Not really. We struggled a lot with that. It's especially me. I struggle a lot with that because I always wanted to be with him. I always wanted him around, even when I'm not talking to him.
Mm.
We need to be in the same house, But I think with time, you'll realize that sometimes you do need a breather. And I think because maybe I was in the honeymoon phase for the longest time than him, I learned that later, Sometimes you are tired. You are not from being with him, but you are just emotionally drained.
Mm.
And you just want to sit there and not talk to anyone, and you don't wonder. But it shouldn't be like when every weekend you are going out and because it's me time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It should be not something that happens so often, because I believe that the more time you spend together, the more you know each other, the more you help each other, the more things become easier for your partner and stuff like that. Because we see relationships where the husband is always with the boys.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday, in the evenings. Mm. Sunday, chillas, braai, with the boys. Mm. And you are left at home with the kids. Ish. And you can't even have a me time when you have kids around.
True.
You are still taking care of them. And that creates an imbalance. And people become bitter and stressed. And you even wonder, what happened? Why is she so... She's not nice to me anymore. She's weird now. So I think it's very important for you to balance. If then once a while he says, I want to go out with my friends, there's like maybe a special occasion they're going to, you're like, okay, no, you go. I have the house, I have the kids. And one day she wants to go out to eat lunch with her friends.
Yeah.
And you have the kids and you let her. That's kind of me time, but not constantly, you know, like spending hours and hours. And Pella, you know, when you, because most people will be like, I'm with you the whole week. No, you're not. When we're sleeping, we're not together. I'm sleeping, you're sleeping. You go to work for 8 hours.
Yeah.
I come back, you only have 2 hours to spend because the kids are awake. You need to bathe them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So most of the time, even when you have conversations in that 2 hours, it's, what happened there?
True.
Oh, the geyser is broken. Yeah. Who's going to pay for the geyser? You know, things like that.
Ish.
But...
Why are you bringing keys at
home? Well, I keep quiet.
No, I'm just showing an example. But but if then you try to exhaust the time you spend together, like make sure that we are almost always together, you wouldn't feel like you are alone and you're doing life alone. You feel like you do have a partner who helps you throughout.
You know what I find, Sanelle, weird?
Mm-hmm.
I find systematic, organized me time. I find that a bit sus, you know. I think it's weird. If you have systematically organized, not maybe this is just from my standpoint, maybe it works for other couples. When you systematically design that every week at this time, I'm going to have me time, I'll go to a restaurant alone. I don't know. I find that weird because for me time includes her. So I don't want to, I wouldn't want to go to a restaurant alone.
How is me time including her? Because it's me. It's you alone.
That's the thing. In my mind, if I'm sitting there and I want to have a chilled time, I'd rather have her there because it's more fun. It's fun. If I'm alone, I don't know. I find that weird. Am I going to be on my phone? I'm just going to be looking around. I find that maybe other people like that idea. Maybe going cycling and they want to, I think that's okay. But I find it weird in my...
Date nights,
exactly. I just find it weird for me to want a me time. In our relationship, my me times sort of are unscheduled.
Okay.
So I'd want to maybe just, because if I'm deciding maybe for fun, I want to play the piano and just go over that. So if I'm playing, obviously she can't have conversations with me because, I can't concentrate.
Mm.
So on those times I can do that. Me times are like, they're not like super organized and scheduled where you say, Friday at 12, I'm going
God
for it.
Please don't knock.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. So I find those weird. I don't think we've ever requested that in our relationship before. It's sort of organic. Yeah, it's sort of organic, so I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a listen to what Elder Vir is saying here as well.
Good morning, Zanele, and thank you so much for the show. Little Heaven, as always, so empowering and refreshing, and I think it's a breath of fresh air that we always needed in this world of many voices speaking to us. Does marriage remove individuality? Is there individuality in marriage? I would say yes. I would say definitely. In fact, that's an expectation. If you find yourself losing yourself in marriage and you become this mesh, this big one blob, you're doing it wrong, I would think. Because that's not supposed to be the goal. Whereas it's supposed to be compromise and interdependence, I think there still needs to be independence beyond it all. And I think the good example, by the way, marriage is supposed to be a picture of God, I think, and what he is like. And we can take insights from his relationship within himself. And you find God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being individual beings, independent beings, but yet
I think there has never been a picture of oneness as perfect as that which we find in the Godhead. So I think for me, if the Godhead says, yes, we are one, but we are independent, then I surely believe even in marriage that is the expectation as well. I mean, if you can find Christ saying, yeah, you can blaspheme against the Son of God, but if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, hey, it cannot be forgiven, you know. And I think that there is saying, siyafana kodwa sihlukile. And nakhona emshadweni kumele kube njalo. My take.
Thank you. This speaking like a true elder, eh?
Yeah. Can I add to what he said? I think he said something really important. I remember a quotation. I don't have the in my mind, but I think it's an Adventist home that says that marriage should be a mystery. Yeah. This and it's something that you do not qualify from, but it should be a mystery. And I think he mentioned it, like I said earlier, the Godhead, the oneness in the individuality, the union in the separation is mysterious.
Yeah.
So it's the same even in marriage. For us to completely explain it will be a bit difficult to explain how one we are and yet we are separate. So I agree with him. We should have our individualness while still being one. I don't know how it's difficult to what exactly should be the video. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. So as we do wrap it up, I don't think I've missed any voice note or comment that has come through. I think we've covered almost everyone who contributed to the conversation. So as we wrap up this conversation about, you know, individuality, I think we do, not the four of us, because I have to include my husband in this conversation.
Please.
I think there is a general challenge or struggle out there with this generation, let me just put it like that, that are getting married now, in terms of maintaining their individuality and also understanding the oneness, because we have this thing, Yoguti, where now I become this oneness, it means that the individuality is gone, like Uzanele is gone, you know, I'm dead and everything like that. What would your advice be to someone who wants to get married, or the newlyweds that are still dealing with this? It's me, you know? This is who I am. You found me like this. So do you understand? And also people that, even though they are already married, but they are still struggling with it. As Uzama was saying, Uguti, yeah, you can't just decide to take the money. We have to agree. You know, you can't just decide, Uguti, I'm going on a alone date. You're going to market for who? For the wife. You know, not saying that we shouldn't do it, but that understanding that it's going to have to be a collective decision is there. So what would your advice be from the both of you to those people struggling with individuality or still trying to understand how it works?
So, like I said in the beginning, sometimes you shouldn't like mix character flaws with what's this personality, right? And for me, he has established that in our house, this devotion every day, and that spending time with God and understanding and the will of God in our lives. We then have a sense of direction where we want to go and how we should carry ourselves. Not that he said, you must be more like this. You mustn't be more like this. You understand? We are guided by the Spirit and the Word of God. And in that way, we tend to have the same ideas or the same thinking when we are still on this journey, right, in our marriage. So it makes it easier for us because I might have been a different person before we got married.
Yes.
But now I would be more like him because we drink from the same cup. You understand? So I think that it's very important for couples to allow God to direct, because we are not the same, right? I remember there was a missionary guy who took his wife, uprooted everybody after marriage, uprooted everybody, and they went to like a foreign country like Brazil or Amazon or something like that to go evangelize and stuff like that. But it would be hard as a wife if you don't want to live in the middle of the jungle to accept that, you know. But as he's getting a conviction to do that, she's also getting a conviction that this is right.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the Lord, this is what we are supposed to do. Mm. But it's only because we read the same source of materials, we pray together, we then we tend to have the same mindset. So don't worry about losing yourself in Christ.
Mm.
Worry about compromising yourself when it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But if you read and you understand, and he reads and he understands, and you have conversations, you're most likely to have the character of Christ than anything else.
Mm. Mm. Okay, right?
I think, firstly, number one, please have separate Facebook accounts. Don't have a joint Facebook account. That's weird. Like, this is Rodney and Lucen's Facebook account. I came across that once. I'm like, what is this? But hey, if that's your level of union, that's fine. I found it super weird. That's fine if you can do it like that. But I think maybe just to echo what she said, that you need to have a Christ-like character. Because the Christ-like character destroys selfishness.
Mm.
You know, in personalities, you have... say you are maybe introversial, you're an introvert, but there are intemperate extremes.
Mm.
You can become too introversial to the point where it's becoming a bad thing. So you can be loud, but you can become too loud. So everything, if you take it with a hint of temperance, that's fine. It'll curtail your temperaments, you know, and you become a normal person.
Yeah.
But if you are not like Christ, you become intemperate.
Mm.
That's where your selfishness now rises to the front. You will not allow yourself to be reduced because you believe this is who you are. So the intemperance is what causes that. And then I think one of the people mentioned it on the chats that the union between the Godhead, the basis for that union is morality.
Yes.
So you cannot ask Christ about a certain thing and he gives one answer, but the Father says something different. Because the decisions that they're dealing with, what they came to teach us as humanity, is what's good and what is bad.
True.
So if you and your spouse are united on the basis of morality, everything else will be much easier.
Mm.
So if you ask Lucen about a certain issue, and that issue needs to be divided between what's evil and what's not, what should be done, what should be not, if you ask me, it will be the same.
Mm.
So that means when we come together, it will be easy for us to determine what we want to do and what we don't want to do in a blended fashion, you see. And the last point, which I've also had to learn myself, is you're going to have to, you'll see certain flaws, which are mistakes, which are just a normal, human beings, we're human beings, we make mistakes and we have certain flaws. You're going to have to accept many of those things and overlook many of those things.
Mm.
So you're not going to bicker. If you're going to be concentrated on a flaw that your spouse has, and mistakes that they make, and you're going to major on those things, you're not going to have a happy life. Neither will the person have. Because remember, they lived their whole lives, 20, 30 plus years before they met you.
Mm.
So they've been cultivating and garnishing all these flaws, sometimes unknowingly, sometimes knowingly.
Mm.
So you have to deal, you have to accept them with those things, praying that they change if those things are good or bad. I mean, sorry, if they're bad, that they change. But keeping them if they're good. So you're going to have to overlook a lot of things and allow a lot of things with patience.
Yeah.
Because, again, imagine she's dealing with the same things with you.
True.
You're never born perfect. You're not coming into this thing perfect. We have to learn to grow together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all I can say.
Mm. Yeah. Are you an elder?
Yes.
Okay. Spoken like a true elder. I just said it to the spoken like a true elder there. But then all I would say as we close this conversation about individuality, thank you to the both of you for coming through.
Thank you so much.
And speaking to us. Sometimes it can be a bit hard as people when we open up ourselves to other people, you know. Others might feel like we have taken your marriage and put it on under the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, from the both of you, because it's like we want to do this, you know, we want to help build families out there. So to our listeners at home, Mina, when it comes to individuality, I'm also still learning. 8 years in, we are still learning. There are things that we're like, ish, okay, keep hiding here, you know. There is never a "we have got it" kind of a situation. Is we learn daily, we build ourselves daily. But you can do all of these things, but if you do not communicate, which is what we're going to be speaking about on Friday, same time here on this one, we're going to speak about communication. If you do not communicate, you have seen the flaws that your person has. If you do not communicate, you have seen the good that they have. If you do not communicate that, if you do not communicate that, "I'm tired, just give me 30 minutes. The other person is not a prophet. Genocide. They will not know. So we may speak about the expectations that we started, we kicked off the session with, right? And now we speak about individualities. There are other things as well that we're going to speak about. Parenting, finances, in-laws and everything. For me, it all boils down to what we're going to discuss on Friday, which is communication. If we do not communicate in our marriages, and I know most of the time whenever we're speaking about communication, we hammer the men. The men, they always don't talk naughty. There are things that in that communication process we mislead, we misguide, and we do wrong, you know. So you are you as a woman, he is him as a man, and the two of you, these two separate beings, they came together to become one. Not that they no longer exist as those people. You cannot, as Rodney was saying, as was ending them, you cannot goka the 30 years of a person in one day. You understand? You can't box that person there. You can't do that. So we're going to be exploring more. So we do say thank you to everyone that is watching there on Facebook as well as YouTube. Do invite a friend. Do share it with them. And the podcasts are also up, I believe. The first one is already up. We will be sharing it on our social media pages as well. But then if you don't want that, you can always go back, because the stream is going to remain. We're not going to delete it no matter what. And we do say thank you there to our love birds, as I call them, for coming through. So in a short bit, we do say thank you to them there. It is a goodbye for Little Heaven. Mid-Morning Empowerment is still continuing. Make sure that you do not go anywhere.